Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
One of the reasons the church got lost is that we thought we were born for Sunday mornings. And we were actually born to replicate Jesus Christ. We were born to replicate Jesus Christ. Because you realize that in his world, they don't have church on Sundays. They are church. So they don't go every morning, every Sunday. You understand what I'm trying to say? Much of what you believe about church has to do with the 2 or 3 hours a week you spend gathering with the saints. That's what you believe about church. So you're always on your good behavior, but you're on your good behavior for public gathering. You behave like a Christian so everybody can see that you are a Christian. But that's not what God says. The Holy Ghost said you were born to replicate his son. You were born to be offsprings of the Godhead. You were born to give God a body to travel in flesh. That's why you were born again. And we're going to talk about why you had to be born again. Because, see, God is spirit, and you are flesh. God is in heaven, you're on earth. Who's going to know there's a God if you don't get it? God said in Isaiah, he said, you are, Isaiah 44, you are my messengers that I am God. Then he goes on to say, you are how people know there is a God. Isn't that a powerful statement? So when we act like the world, people still don't know there's a God. When we behave like the folk who need salvation, people don't know there's a God. Our mandate is to let all creation know there is a God. That God is in flesh. That he didn't just get in flesh in one person, but by the Holy Ghost, he occupies all his people. And that as they are in heaven, so are we to be on earth. And so one of the reasons that God talked to me was to let us know, you know, we are an apostleship house for the reason that we're not just hosting you for Sunday morning and to be good. We're an apostleship house to make you citizens of the kingdom of Christ. Bible said Abraham sought for a kingdom, a city, a country whose maker was God. He did not fit in this world. The reason you got saved is because you know you don't fit. The world kicked you out. God took you in. Isn't that wonderful? At least that's their story. But God's story is a little more interesting. So let's do the 14 events that created the nation of Jesus Christ. These events are what ushered in and necessitated and ushered in God's new government. You're going to love this. It's going to be a journey. Tell your neighbor it's going to be a journey. Be patient. I can tell y'all to be patient because y'all going to be trying for Tuesday night. Y'all going to aggravate me to no end. I already feel it. I know how Tuesday night's going to go. Let's look at the 14 events. The Great War in Heaven. That's what kick-started it all. The Garden of Eden. Abraham's covenant. The 10 plagues. Moses' Exodus. Moses' law. David's kingship, Israel's captivity, Israel's return home, Jesus Christ's incarnation, Jesus Christ's crucifixion, Jesus Christ's resurrection, Jesus' ascension, and the church's first Pentecost. 14 events let you know whether or not you're in the right or wrong faith. 14 things that we all should be teaching. And every church, every move of God has to have a faithful theology that tracks with this continuum. This is the eternal continuum that justifies the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is it. 14 events that took place. The first one starting in heaven and the end of it all ending where it began, in heaven. And so we're going to spend a little time going through these 14. We're not doing them all today because, well, I want you to get it, not just hear it. You know, sometimes we rush because we want you to hear it. But I want you to get it. So we're going to start with the great war in heaven. Every week, I'm going to list these 14. Every single week, we're going to say them out. Why? Because faith come by and hearing by the... And I have to keep saying it for you to start getting it and becoming it. See, God did not mean for you to remember his word. He meant for you to become it. As Jesus came, in the beginning was the... And the word was with God in the word. And the same was in the beginning with God. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is, where? As he is, where? So if we're not like him, we're in trouble. You understand that? I always use the example of how the church, how the believers from the early era became Christians. The example is this. The Christians had began to expand, and they had extended themselves to Antioch. Now, when they got to Antioch, something amazing happened. Up until Antioch, they were believers or disciples. But something marvelous happened in Antioch. And that is, the Antiochians called them Christians. Now, it doesn't say anywhere in Scripture and history that Jesus got over to Antioch. Doesn't say he got there at all. Antioch was a Gentile state, and what? Jesus was sent to the Jews. So it doesn't say he got to Antioch. Yet, when they got there, after he's dead, they recognized Jesus. So y'all didn't catch that. So when they got there, they said, these people are behaving so differently, they remind us of somebody. On the tip of my tongue, guys, upset the world, made them, they killed me. We heard about this. Wait a minute, let me go to my iPod. But they behaved in such a way that they knew they acted like no other god they'd ever encountered. Because all people walk in the name of their God. Now, there was no gospel yet, but yet they understood this man, those people not just heard, because a lot of people heard about Jesus. Remember, you know, you had the seven sons of Sceva heard about him. Didn't do him much good, but they heard about him. But there was something about their understanding of the Christ. There was something about their appreciation of his uniqueness. Oh, hallelujah. That made them so embody him that they represented him. The word represent that we take so commonly actually means to bring to mind again in order to display. Represent. They represented Jesus in a way that made everybody in that region say, hey, y'all are Christians. Now, we in the church, particularly the evangelical sectors, like to say, well, they said it as a derogatory term of contempt. I don't care how they said it. I really don't. A lot of things are born out of people mocking. A lot of great institutions came from people mocking and scorning. It doesn't make a difference how they're saying it. It stuck. And since the Christians couldn't come up with a name for themselves, God had to use the sinners. But he was going to get his son's name out. Now, this was not church. See, these were regions. These were political and geopolitical regions. They were not church that did this. These are political people, people of power, who recognize a new God is in town. And he's got kids. And his kids are acting like him. Oh, somebody can catch this. That's powerful. That's powerful stuff. People ought to look in your face and say, you're a Christian. If the Antiochians can say it and Jesus had not yet blanketed the world, there's some conduct, behavior, temperament, and personality issues we need to resolve for Christianity to take hold again. Oh, hallelujah. This man had a mind. The Bible said, Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind, what mind? The mind of Christ. The mind that understood why he had to take on flesh. why he had to go through the scorning and the mocking, why he had to take the 39 stripes, hang on the cross, why he had to die, why he had to go to hell, rise again, why he had to come back and breathe on the apostles, why he had to train them about his kingdom for 40 days after he rises from the dead, why he had to ascend on high, and why he had to send the Holy Ghost that birthed his body. You need to rattle off like that. It's your faith. It's supposed to be your faith. It's supposed to be important to you. Half of y'all can rattle off scores for games like that. Who played what game? Who won? Who got the winning touchdown? Winning basket? Y'all can run that all day long. But you can't tell me how you got saved. Hey, we got to be good at this thing. I tell people all the time, I'm real good at being a Christian. First of all, because I'm not in the dark on it. I'm not in the dark on Christianity. I'm very clear on why God did what he did and why we need it, what our purpose is. We have a major purpose. Remember, when Jesus was born, there were no less than 80,000 gods laying claim to humanity. That's a lot of gods. And yet Antioch can sift through them and look at this man from what they were saying and recognize that Paul and his followers were not communicating anything they'd ever heard before. And that Jesus' principles were so different. They were so different that they knew he did not belong to any of the existing gods that they had venerated. What is your conversation like today? Is your conversation enough to make people say, hey, hold on. Something new is in town. Revelation 12, 7 to 11. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels warring against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels warred, but did not prevail. Nor was place found for them in heaven anymore. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a great voice saying in heaven, now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God. If you should have your own Bible, I want you to highlight that. That is a powerful, powerful statement. Now has come the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God. And the authority of his Christ. For the accusers, listen, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their soul until death. Now, I'm going to say a couple of things that's going to rock your world, but how about y'all know if you came to New Creation, you came to have your world rocked? Because we're a world-rocking church. So we're going to rock your foundation. Because we hear people preach things and say things in totally earthly and human terms. But this is not a statement about earth. And it's not a statement about humanity. This is about what's going on in heaven. Before there was an us, there was a war in heaven. Before there was an us, there was sin in the realm of the spirit. Now, sin for us means whatever conflicts with Moses' moral code, the Ten Commandments. Sin for eternity has a different definition. Sin in eternity is not about the moral code that we live by, because the code that governs us is the code for the corrupt, for the dying, for the temporal. The code that governs eternity is for the immortals who cannot die. So you don't kill a spirit. You arrest them. You bind them. Hell was created for what? The devil and his angels. You arrest spirits because they don't die. See, Jesus told us that there was an eternal life, but many of us have forgotten that he also said there's an eternal damnation. And that we'll end up only, we won't cease to exist, because anything God brings into existence cannot be obliterated. So we will live forever where? In the lake of fire. not gone. The body goes back to the dust, which is the body of man is the only thing God made on earth. I'm going to show you that. So only that which is made on earth can return to the earth. But that which is made in the spirit must return to the spirit. The spirit of God who gave it life. So now God is dealing not with the sin that we know of, which is sickness in nature. God's not dealing with that. God is dealing with immortal beings. He's dealing with an annihilation and abuse of his government, his laws. A constant threat to his authority and constant attempts to overthrow his kingship, his royalty, his godhood. You see, that's why he didn't make the same mistake when he made us. See, he didn't repeat that. Now Satan beats on us. Now, he said, and there was war in heaven. So the first thing you need to know is that this entire set of passages is about heaven. It's about the eternal realm. Michael and his angels warred against the dragon. Now, he said Michael and his angels fought. So Michael has always been a chief commander in God's kingdom. Every time God creates something, he gave Michael authority over it. So now he's got Michael ruling in this chief commander situation in eternity, and he brings another nation into existence called Israel, and he gives Michael charge over them. God is a God of constancy, consistency, and continuity. That's why I told you need to respect the prophecy continuum to know whether or not you're in the faith. Now he says Michael is warring against the dragon. By this time, Satan's been around a long time. He done picked up a couple of epithets. Dragon, serpent, devil, hallelujah. He done picked up a couple of things. So they're warring. They're fighting. And, you know, God is the master of understatement. He doesn't say, we won, hallelujah, glory to God, we won. He said, did not prevail. I mean, CNN would love that report. Did not prevail. All right, so what does that mean, Lord? Didn't prevail. What is that? If half of us don't know what a prevail is, let alone a veil. Okay? So he's saying, we won. But we didn't just win to fight again. One thing about God, when God finishes a matter, he's a done deal God. He said, and right after that said, nor was their place found for them in heaven anymore. So God's like, he let him finish making the mess that he was going to make in creation. Because see, we live Christianity like God didn't have a problem. And we live Christianity like they are all on a Caribbean vacation, laying out doing Mai Tais and coconuts and carrying on, walking and sunning in the beach. No, they had a problem called the dragon. And in order to clear their problem, they had to defeat him. God let this thing amass an army of followers, an army of warriors. He let him literally prevail and pervade his pristine society. So, because for him to go from being Lucifer, son of the morning, to dragon, serpent, devil, Satan, he had to earn those names. He earned those names. Nobody tagged him. In other words, he had to get to a point that he had to earn the name dragon. For those of you who don't know it, because it's like, well, God didn't make the dragon. Yes, he did. They call seraphim. The seraphim are fiery dragons. Well, God didn't make the serpent. Yes, he did. And they had them all in heaven. All of them tearing up creation. Devil, accuser, and Satan. So you can research all of that and realize he did not just fall and God said, I'm going to give you four new names. He had to earn those names because in the realm of God, names identify powers, position, purpose, and performance. In the kingdom of God, names identify powers, position, purpose, and performance. Here we name folk any old kind of thing. But But way back in time, it was not so. Abraham's name was changed because he was a fatherless God who was made the father of many nations. So God had to put Abraham on there instead of Abram. Sarah's name was changed from Sarai, which was princess, to Sarah, mother in Zion, mother of many nations, mother of kings. So whenever God got ready to do something powerful, he would change their names. Why? Because they were named after another God, which means they had, every time somebody called them, their faith would be in that other name. Very important what you name your kids. Very important. So now we know he earned his titles, and he's got four new titles, right? He's got dragon and serpent, old serpent, which means God gave him a long rope to tear up a lot of things. And he deceives the whole world. And he doesn't just deceive our world, and that's what we missed. He deceives the whole world. Why? Because he had angels. Remember, in another place it talks about he took his tail and he drugged one-third of the stars with him when he fell. He took his. Now, in spiritual parlance, in Bible language, the tail is the prophet. It's an instrument of divination. The head was the ruler, the king. Tail was prophecy or divination. So he took his tail and he dragged it. He's telling you that because God is speaking in pictures, because he really wants us to have to seek the Holy Ghost to get what he's saying. So God is speaking in pictures. He took his tail, meaning he prophesied conversely to what the Creator said what will be. He introduced new life and language in God's world of truth. John 8:44, the devil sinned from the beginning. Hallelujah. He's a liar and he's the father of it. So he introduced the lie, what we call the lie, what God calls antithesis. The antithesis, because in eternity, folk wasn't going to hell. That came later. See? Satan introduced the reason to separate civilization into two things. Because God, now obviously God had a thriving society. We keep thinking that his first works was earth. That's not true. He apparently had a very thriving society. He had a justice system, a judicial system. He had citizens of an eternal world. So you got to know your faith. Because see, people are asking you questions you can't answer. And they know more about their lies than you know about your truth. They're more informed on the lie than you are on the truth. So he's got an army. We know that. We know he's got an altar. We know that he's got citizens. We know that he has a priesthood called Melchizedek. See, God had a whole thriving system and culture before he said, we need to let there be light. Now, listen to what it says. Now, it says, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. Now, we don't know whether that's the first generation earth or second generation earth. But it begs us to conclude, hallelujah, yeah, I know, first generation earth. Now it says, and I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now has come the salvation, now listen to me, the salvation and power and the kingdom of our God, which was not on earth yet, because Pentecost brought us the kingdom. The virgin birth gave us the king, but Pentecost brought us the kingdom. Isn't that powerful stuff? And the authority of his Christ, or his Messiah. In the ancient times, Messiah was not as common a name, or Christ was not as common a name as it is today. Messiah was only a name that was held for rulers and kings and royal authorities, because it was saying you were anointed by the God of your land. The God of your faith. Now, for the accuser of our brothers is cast down. Think about this. Who accused them before our God day and night. Now, hear this. The angels are who we're talking about being accused. The citizens of heaven. Not earth. Now, it doesn't exclude us, but they supersede us. So Satan was in heaven accusing them. Otherwise, why would they have war? Why do we need the war? You know, Star Wars did not begin with the Jedi. Hallelujah. Star Wars began with the dragon who made war in the heavens. See, you have to know that they're perverting your gospel, and you need to know where the perversion is happening. Now, this is getting good. We're warming up. Except that he's cast down. What is that saying? God took Satan's celestial powers from him. Because remember, in Job, he can go back and forth in the heavens. But the war did something. It forever changed their relationship. And it restricted Satan's powers. Now, it says the only way to beat the accuser is what? The blood of the Lamb. Because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their souls to death. Now we're talking about something else entirely. You have to understand. Three things let us set time. Christ, Lamb, and blood. So it's fixing time and locale. But remember, in Colossians it says something that we rarely hear preached, that Jesus brought all things by his blood, brought all things together that were in heaven and on earth, seen and unseen. So the war with the in heaven and the dragon affected all creation. We are taught you that little pitiful evangelical statement that if there was only one person in the whole planet, God would die for one person. How many of y'all heard that? How many of y'all believe that? I submit to you today that if he would have died for Adam. Because there was only one. He only had one person to worry about, not billions of souls. If I was God, I'd have taken the easy way out. He didn't die for Adam. Because dying for one won't help those that have not begun. Adam carried all of creation in his loins. Eve carried them in her eggs. And so it didn't matter to die for Adam and let Adam and Eve procreate and reproduce another Cain. Dying for one would have been useless. Can you say amen? See, God operates on a big picture. We don't know how leaders and rulers and powerful people think. They think very differently. God tolerated the dragon's mess all of those ages because he had a plan in mind. And the plan was he was going to capture a new world. He was going to create and capture a new world called Earth. God has one agenda that he's pushing. Give everything to Jesus. Jesus has an agenda, recover everything for the Father. All of Christianity revolves around those two points. God wants to give Jesus everything because Jesus is his first begotten son. He's thrilled with this guy. He's got a great son. It's wonderful. God is so, now here's what's so important. What makes Jesus that important? Think about it. God brought himself into existence with one sperm. One, Jesus. That's what all of the New Testament is saying. That's what Paul got as the revelation of the mystery. One sperm, Jesus. But he didn't bring Jesus into existence like that. He brought Jesus into existence with the whole of creation's life forces and life forms in his being. We were in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Hi. This is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.